In some ways, Pong was a perfect storm. It was relatively inexpensive to build, fun to play. Nobody'd seen anything like it before. The thing just exploded.
I think my first time playing an Atari game was when I was maybe 6, 7 years old, lining up to play the Lunar Lander.
It was simple, it was fast, it was intense, it was just the fear of dying. You know, you dreaded that continue screen, right?
It wasn't just something that you were consuming, it was suddenly something that you could play and be a part of. And I also think that there was sort of a certain romance to these small groups of guys building these really cool interactive experiences.
You know, the classic titles that we did, in many ways, were driven by the technology that we were developing. The early games were all raster scanned and pixelated, and you know, people say, well, Pong had a square ball. Why didn't you make it round? I said, well, we couldn't. it had taken another $20 worth of parts. And we thought a square ball was probably good enough.
They really blazed the trail for game mechanics and, you know, trying to figure out how people interacted with this medium. And, I mean, everything that's been built since was built on top of that.
One of the challenges we at Atari have been faced with is, how do you satisfy both the nostalgia of the classics as they were originally presented and yet at the same time understand that we have many more powerful tools today in both software and hardware?
From the very beginning, we were working with Microsoft and with Atari and starting to figure out, you know, what would a new arcade look like in an online space today? And so just a brainstorming around how we'd like to re-envision these things really played a huge role in how these games evolved and rolled out into HTML5.
We had a lot of technical challenges on this project. It's, you know, something that no one's really done before. I mean, we've built casual games using HTML5 before, but we've rebuilt these from scratch. There's no emulation. We've coded whole new games, but using the ideas from the originals. We were bringing them all together in this arcade interface. We wanted to make sure that we could load them in and unload them and not wind up with memory piling up. Once we'd figured that out, we had to figure out ways to keep our interaction working, even though we were loading content into an iframe. And we had to figure out how to get CSS 3D working across all of the browsers and all of the devices.
We've built some tools now that really help us with this, and now it's about exploiting those tools to really test how far we can go with this.
We've continued to build on top of CrayJS, which is an open source library that we've released to let people build these types of experiences.
With the new technology, and especially the HTML5 and the web-based stuff, we can bring one experience to multiple platforms.
We've also built some new stuff. We came up with something called Toolkit for CreateJS, which is a product that we've been developing with Adobe that lets us export animation and assets for these games. So it's really let us establish a nice workflow where our designers can do their work the way that they're comfortable with, and our developers can take those assets and integrate them.
Microsoft was unbelievably encouraging about the new technologies, the new platforms, and really bringing a whole lot of life to the project.
There's actually a game DNA that exists in Microsoft that doesn't exist anywhere else, so it was a natural partner.
Playing these games on a touch-enabled device like a Windows 8 tablet gives you a different experience, because we're able to do on-screen joysticks and we're able to react to multi-touch and things like that. So it's, in some ways, it makes it feel more like an app instead of like a web game. And I think that kind of gives you a different perspective on the games. And I think now you're seeing a resurgence of interest in indie games, things that are built by just a few people. And I think that might open up the market again for, you know, Atari to do what it did well back in the day.
Casual gaming is really the embodiment of easy to learn, impossible to master. And what you really want to be able to do is have a series of games that you think, gee, I've got 10 minutes before I need to pick up the kids from school. And of course, an hour later, the kids are waiting on the curb.